Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, thank the Most High that we're back again. Another episode, yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edemiah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High, absolutely, for this opportunity. Yes, for this opportunity to be back with you here again. I welcome you to the show. And I thank the Most High for every ear, yes, for every ear that He brings near. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me. For His cause, I have some very important, yes, some very, very important things for Him that I must do. He told me because of what I must do, He said to me that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him, that which He has asked of me, that I would have His protection and His guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. The Most High has told me. Yes, indeed, He has told me, commanded me. And hearing His voice, it is my duty to tell you things that men have done some of everything they could. Yes, some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall. To hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And if they could, yes, if they could, my brothers and sisters, to destroy. Man, today, my brothers and sisters, this, in a most uncivilized society, considering it somehow a civilized normalcy, find that amazing. Every nation and culture, after this different ideals, varied designs, differing beliefs, desires, thoughts, and agendas, each one has thought itself wise, thought itself true, thought itself just, thought itself somehow acceptable before the will of one. An international community, my brothers and sisters, that can believe this can only be polytheistically in so many ways damned. Think about it. Anyone who can believe that a multitude of contradictions are true to the will of the one, or who can believe that a multitude of differing ideals, contentiously argumentative, is a blessing from deity, is only worship to the devil. Certainly not worship him who is one. But after the will of one, my brothers and sisters, there can only be perfect unity. I find it amazing that we live in a society that men judging after what they see, after the many variances that they see in this world, most have never considered that man was created to be a habitation of the Holy Spirit, filled at first with the Spirit of the Most High, to think, to breathe, to act, desire after the will of his Creator. Fact of the matter, my brothers and sisters, man wasn't created but to conform to the will of him who made him. Man, my brothers and sisters, was not to create or imagine, or for that matter, act upon even one aberrant thought. Man, my brothers and sisters, was created to walk after, think after, do after, perform after, trust, love, and cooperate after the will of his Creator, no other. Or dare men think that the Most High created man to act impishly, without the need for instruction, without the need to even seek continual instruction from the Most High that he might remain true to him? Is that what men have been compelled to think? I look at the scriptures like those at Zephaniah. Excuse me. Zephaniah. 3:13. Pardon my voice for a moment. Zephaniah 3:13. Scriptures tell us that the remnant, the blessed remnant, true Israel, Israel was one who sought the will of God beyond all else, sought discernment of the knowledge of Yah above all else. See, the true remnant of Israel will do no iniquity. In other words, they should not fall victim to anybody. The Jews. Well, prayerfully, we're back online. If everybody can hear me, please let me know. It looks like we had a little bandwidth problem with the internet for a moment. Temporary. Don't know what caused the bleep, but looks like we're back. If I can be heard, please let me know. If you can hear me, please let me know. Maybe somebody out there can Let me know if everything's working. Let me see something. Well, anybody out there that can hear? Somebody report back? Well, I believe I'll just go ahead and continue. Have sound finally back. If we have sound, we can continue. Seems that BTR had a little bit of a bandwidth problem tonight. Okay, I believe that we do have sound. Great, great, fantastic. Thank the Most High for the opportunity to continue. As I was saying, I need to get right to it because the time is much shorter now. I find it amazing we live in a world for all its differences. It's felt that somehow for all these multitudes of different ideologies and beliefs, that somehow men have believed that this was still yet an agreement with the Most High. It hasn't been a covenant with man to man. How is it that men have believed that this is still true to the will of him who is one? As I was saying earlier, there's something that ancient man knew. And that is the fact that the Most High plans surely that there will be peace in this earth. Did you hear me? Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3rd chapter, 13th verse. As I said before, it says that the remnant of Israel will speak no lies, do no iniquity. No guile found their mouths, it says in Revelation 14th chapter. No deceitful tongue found their mouths. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. That is what man was created to be. It's truly amazing that we see all these differences, aberrant thoughts, rebellious against discerning that the differences we see are, in fact, a lack of wisdom. Unwilling to see that this mass indiscriminate thinking is, in fact, my brothers and sisters, the result of a curse. It's part of a punishment. In other words, in that man has not sought the Most High for all that he was intended. Most High said, well, if you don't seek all my will, how can you ever fully please him? Think about it. Man seeking to please himself after a multitude of differences would never be in agreement with Yah. Scripture says, the one after which men must follow. Scripture says in Revelation 14, they must follow the Lamb wherever he leads. Scripture says that one, my brothers and sisters, seeks to perform all that is divine pleasure, nothing less. How is it that me and my brothers and sisters, after a multitude of differences, still feel somehow that the Most High, looking upon this havoc, could ever be pleased? As I said before, man was created to be a habitation of the Holy Spirit, it says in the book of Ephesians. Having one reverence for one as the hope of peace. Or all we need to talk about that scripture, because it's pretty shocking what it really says about that. Even as far as to say, my brothers and sisters, the man was created as a habitation for the Holy Spirit. Habitation for the Holy Spirit, that means to preserve What is the pure consecrated spirit, the pure consecrated word of the one Most High? What did Messiah said, if you love me, keep, preserve, maintain? How about his consecrated word? The knowledge of what is the word of inspiration from him. For to know what is said and not know why it is said is to miss the point. In fact, it's not to keep commands at all. You got 45,000 folks out here, denominations out here all saying something different. How's that keeping the commandments of one? Shall men say that after all these differences, the Most High is pleased? We look really closely at Revelation 22nd chapter 12 through the 21st verse. Whoever would not preserve the pure, perfect word of the Most High, I even go as far as to say whoever is content not seeking the pure, perfect will of Yah, whoever in their lack of discretion or self-righteousness would add anything or take away or pervert in any way the knowledge of the truth. It really says, my brothers and sisters, that such as this are not welcome. Scripture says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll reveal myself. He's maintaining his conscience, the revelation of his conscience. Whoever would turn men aside from discerning that pure, perfect will. Do you really think, my brothers and sisters, that such as this are worthy unto an eternal kingdom? Like I said before, early man knew the Most High plans peace for this world. And a peace that he said, according to Zephaniah 3:13, he said, those who seek his peace will be true to him. They will dwell securely at peace, none to harm them. But brothers and sisters, the only way that can be is that every dissenting voice be silenced. So when the Most High brings forth the salvation, revealing the wisdom that the world has not known for a very long time, when he brings forth the peace, absolute knowledge of himself, and the truth of the gospel of the coming millennial reign, blessed are they who confirm steadfast under his voice, will be allowed, granted, to survive the judgment, granted and allowed, my brothers and sisters, the gift of eternal life. Because it means that the Most High has to eradicate every voice that would be contentious against the peace. Think about it. The Most High can never be satisfied with anything else but peace. It's therefore the duty of every soul to seek what is righteous, what is fair. Willing, my brothers and sisters, to walk after what is right. Willing to seek what is right. Willing to seek the Most High. When Scripture says such things as, come, let us reason together. We see schisms and divisions among us. We should petition the Most High. Mutually, be willing to petition the Most High that we rediscover what is necessary to make amends, there might be an atonement, that we all might be true to him. This is an obligation we have before Yah, and an obligation we have for one another. Anything else, my brothers and sisters, is not a covenant. Anything else, my brothers and sisters, is not under that peace. Most High did not create his people to be impishly rebellious. So the scripture talks about a remnant of Israel that shall walk according to this righteousness. That shall walk according to this peace. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that those who say they want the salvation of mankind, say they want the peace, have been treacherous not to teach that which the Most High has planned to bring it to bear, have not been willing to teach who, according to the scriptures, will declare that peace, declare that one standard. I hear pastors a lot of times speak about all kinds of different topics. But the most important of all, the gospel of peace, and some of the ways they neglect. And I've talked about it before. What the Most High declared is a plan from the beginning. That common expectation is something that should have always been preserved, never forgotten. That humanity, knowing that the Most High will not preserve a contentious people, should have always known, my brothers and sisters, to seek always what is necessary that men in all things be one. But men, desirous, steps their own ideals, their own nations, their own governments, whatever they want to call it, damnable, all of them, not been so considerate of what's necessary to seek beyond self, what would be peace, but have sought to establish their own ideals. My brothers and sisters, is that the love of Yah? Is that the love of His will? Is that the love of the truth? One who has no love of the truth, can he really say that he has loved Yah? Most High has already declared only one plan after which he will bring to bear that peace. Can men despise that plan, not seek that plan, be content not to look for it? Though it be written in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and still be called true to the Most High? I got news for you. There's a lot of truth in Scripture that people simply miss because the ultimate goal the Most High said He would accept has not been their ultimate agenda. So often people, instead of looking for what would be salvation, peace for the good of all, have instead, my brothers and sisters, looked for what appeals to their own ambition, their own agenda, their own allegiances, their varying allegiances. But the Scriptures tell us the Messiah comes to perform all that is divine pleasure. Everything else is after the will of the flesh. And we're told, be not deceived. From the flesh we reap corruption. From the Spirit, eternal life. The flesh, my brothers and sisters, oftentimes functions reprobatedly, without discipline. Nothing to concert the minds and the hearts. Scripture says the word of Yah, however, still endures forever. If the whole world be deceived, Yah will yet be true. How is it, my brothers and sisters, men, if they've read that scripture, and if they haven't, they need to, the remnant of Israel, the people of the Most High will call His own, that He will deliver, that He will preserve, be true to Him in all things, word and deed. Speaking no lies, do no iniquity, no injustice. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that men have just presumed that that's going to come to pass? The very same scriptures in Zephaniah, 3rd chapter, also speak of Messiah, my brothers and sisters, appearing in the midst of a city. I would dare to tell you that the Savior, those that men say they await, will not appear after a manner that men have been taught to expect. And if those of us, if all of us were wise to what the Scriptures have to say concerning the appearance of the awaited one, this many more would know. We were warned Messiah comes suddenly, unexpectedly. And if the world at large knew what to expect, why is there, my brothers and sisters, is there so much prophecy related that when He appears, rather than being accepted, He would be rejected? I didn't tell you that in a lot of your translations, but Scripture says, all eyes shall see Him, and every nation of the earth, all the nations of the earth shall mourn. So they shall see Him, they put down whom they have pierced, but the word there is rejected. Meaning, the world's sense of conscience has been greatly depraved. The man's been greatly deprived. of the knowledge of the truth and called it a blessing, called it the gift of Yah. It's been subject to rulers who scripture said in advance will never tell you the truth, never tell you the whole truth. Dare men say that's still the grace of Yah? You know, I find it amazing. Europe didn't have peace when they began to colonize so many other parts of the world, say even these so-called Americas. They didn't have peace. There was no peace. They came from one peace having no peace. They came to another people, another place having no peace. Started to destroy everyone who was here already. And they brought all their differences here and then put them under another title and called them by one nation. But brothers and sisters, darkness added to darkness is still darkness. A multitude of differing ideals that will not be true to one light or will resist, or that will resist the greater will and wisdom of Yah revealed. Brothers and sisters, that's still darkness. Confusion under another name. Still confusion. Ignorance under another name, my brothers and sisters. It's still ignorance. They taught you to think otherwise, my brothers and sisters, has only been fatal flattery. So I ask the question, since the scriptures talk about in Isaiah 44:20, say this is a people whose imagination, their discretion has become dull. They cannot deliver themselves nor see that what they've trusted with their right hand has been falsehood. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, the scripture said, would give his people again since they can't deliver themselves? Who is it the Most High said shall give them power, conscience again, revive what is faith again, that men might become truly again the sons and daughters of Yah. Scripture says someone will come forth one day saying, listen to me, O isles, and hearken to me, O you nations. Let my people renew their strength. Keep silence before me, O you nations. In other words, no more distraction. Let my people discern again what is true. I think about the first verses of Isaiah 52. It talks about how the leaders of these people caused them to howl, caused them to quarrel. He says, therefore they shall know my name, they shall know my will in that day. They will know that it is I who speak. Behold, they shall know that it is I. And finally, a word, my brothers and sisters, is spoken forth beyond all the varying differences and contentions, warlike warfare, arguments among the various nations. But my brothers and sisters, after the scriptures talk about the word whereby men finally might discern the primacy, the sovereignty of Yah above all the mountains, all the nations, all the kings of this earth. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures there have been vastly misinterpreted in Isaiah 52, but it talks about one whose conscience is not from men, one whose conscience is from above, whose vision is not of men, but from Yah. It says the rulers will have their mouths shut in shame because of him, because there's so much that they had not considered, they should be made to consider. And then the scripture asks, what? To whom shall he teach knowledge? To whom shall he make to understand the report? To whom is the arm of the Most High revealed? Who shall believe his report? Who shall believe and discern his word to know that it is he? Oh, my brothers and sisters, you ever stop to consider how much these scriptures declare how much man has fallen away from the knowledge of the truth? You need to ask questions. Is man really, at this point in time, has he really convinced himself there's no need for divine guidance and instruction because most people don't know how to agree in it? Most people haven't sought it. Most people never heard and don't realize they never really heard. what is true of the gospel of the kingdom of Yah. Kingdom of Yah, my brothers and sisters, the ruler of all the nations. The rulers have desired to keep people all subject to a lesser sense of conscience, so that when they read the word, when they hear it, and they hear them, they hear them taught by their rulers, the end result is they're still constrained after a lesser conscience. That's not the gospel. That's not the truth that sets men free. That's not the word from above. It is not in any way, my brothers and sisters, tampered with, adulterated, or controlled in any way by any lesser conscience. It is the mind of Yah. Unadulterated, my brothers and sisters. Delivered after the surety of all that he would declare. Like I said, people read the book, but they get different interpretations. That is not a covenant, my brothers and sisters. The reason why the scripture says faith comes by hearing a word ultimately means from Yah. Not all have heard the preaching of a gospel word from on high. Many seek to establish therefore their own righteousness. All that's in Romans 10. Many call upon the name of the Most High, but not as a result of having first heard from him. The scripture says those who call upon the name of the Most High should be delivered. And in Jerusalem shall be delivered to a woman whom the Most High himself has called. Look at Joel 2:32 and understand what it means. No man makes himself of the kind of conscience the Most High is pleased with. That's the thing, my brother and sister, the Most High himself grants. So I ask the question, is it okay to give out false instructions if you don't know they are wrong? Think about it. This is what people are doing. Do they think it's really okay to give out false instructions if they don't know they are wrong? Shall right come as a result of this if nobody knows what is right? Can a multitude of false instructions bring forth what pleases the Most High? Is it consistent with what the Most High declared from the beginning? He said the word from the beginning then is life. You say some altered word later, some deviant word is still somehow a belief that should survive forever? A covenant, my brothers and sisters, is a common sense of understanding. It's a common sense of understanding. And the holy covenant, my brothers and sisters, is true to Yah. And he has already declared a plan. Shall man seek to declare another and still think he shall have peace acceptable? Is it okay just to blindly presume that the instructions you take or give are okay? Is it okay just to blindly presume that whatever instructions you've been given, whatever instructions you've been told you should take, whatever instruction you think are wise to give, is it okay to just blindly think that it's okay, not seeking a greater refinement from the Most High, that you might discern what indeed is the will of Yah? Is that okay? Is it okay for folks to do whatever they will, whatever seems right in their own hearts, just as long as they believe and presume it to be right? There's a scripture that says you should not take the name of the Most High in vain. You ever stop to consider what this scripture really means? You don't associate the holy name or what is to be considered instruction in any way, my brothers and sisters, after the vanity of your own mind, your own heart, your own imaginations. Meaning man must have inspiration from Yah. How shall he say he's saved from the indiscriminate nature of so many beguilements of this world without that inspiration? Something is desperately wrong. You ever stop to consider how an adversary has tricked man to believe that without discretion, somehow everything's okay, not realizing that to be a punishment? A father, a brother and sister, that has favor upon his son, teaches his children. One scripture says, hearken the Most High, lest you fail the grace of Yah, fall short of his grace, meaning that his grace and his favor that he does teach and is not silent. A lot of folks, my brothers and sisters, so willing to argue. Scripture never said he would continue to instruct them. Like I said, my brothers and sisters, is man without sin, blameless, for trusting in the imaginings of his own ideals and heart, simply because he presumes these things were right? Is there no need for divine instruction, no need for the remembrance of what Yah from the beginning has declared? Is the eternal word worthy unto the gift of eternality? Is it by our own individual imagination that we, is it by our own individual imaginations, being cultivated by the various societies around us? Is it after these varying imaginations that we will all have agreement with Yah, agreement with one another? Like I said, we need to ask ourselves some questions. Is there no error that men blindly follow? Is there no error of men blindly follow false instructions? Most High told me to know what it said and not know why it says and miss the point. That means Most High gives a command. You should seek to understand it fully as to hear what is his intentions. Like I said before, if somebody says go fill up the car, and you're in say New York City. And then somebody says, okay, we got the car full. The next thing you hear is, okay, we're going to drive to Los Angeles. Well, somebody says, I don't want to drive to Los Angeles because I don't want to drive west. And they choose to drive east. First off, they didn't want to go first. First off, they did just bad and wanted to go fill up the car. So what is wise be accomplished, or what is acceptable be accomplished? With an attitude like that, I want you to think about it. Shall men not have committed murder in giving instructions that lead one another along a dangerous path? Think about it. Folks say, okay, well, I'm going to drive. I'm in New York. Say I'm in New York City. Say I'm going to drive east rather than west, seeking to get to California. Wow, can you imagine the idea? You're driving blindly. Hey, what's that splash? No problem. You're suddenly floating. The wheel's not on the ground anymore. And you seem to be going nowhere forward. What's that splash? What's that? Are we sinking? Barely floating and going nowhere? Somebody says, what? No problem. Hey, the radio stops working. Stop hearing the man on the radio. Stop hearing the music. Everything shut out. No problem. The engine feels like it died. No problem. Oh, there's nothing wrong. We just keep going. Just keep hitting the accelerator. Harder. No problem. My feet are getting wet. And in fact, the water is rising higher. No problem. But see, you're driving along blindly following instructions and never stop to consider whether or checking to see from all that you have heard from a trustworthy source was right or not. And finally, somebody decides to open their eyes. We're sinking. We're underwater. Somebody said, no problem. Just keep driving. My brothers and sisters, man has to have discretion from the Most High. To believe a multitude of contentious ideals are okay, not considering the idea that you need no, and sometimes, let's just say, an exaction with regard to his will. My brother says, how can such a one such as this be a disciple unto him? Can someone like that, my brother says, ever be wise before him? Can they ever accomplish his will? Scripture says, double-minded man is enmity. Well, carnal-minded, double-minded man, enmity against the law of Yah. It's double-minded when you want to hold on to a multitude of contentious ideas, provocations against the perfect will of one. Look at the book of Yaakov, they call James in the first 9 verses and understand. Double-mindedness itself, my brothers and sisters, is a curse. Wanting to believe a multitude of differences make no difference. None of it true to the will of one. My brothers and sisters, that's not the love of the truth. That's a preference for unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2 says that is damnable. It says those who prefer unrighteousness have no great love of the truth. Those who prefer to believe lies. How about fatal flattery? Scripture says, shall be damned. We have to realize we were created to receive and preserve inspired knowledge of the will of Yah. When the first words for man was not just merely the word man, as most people know. It's the word manu. It means God mind. One who is constantly to be in communion with the mind of the Most High. I can tell you, my brother and sister, that refusing to believe, refusing to submit to the chance and admonishment and reproof from the Most High, refusing to declare and obey what the Most High declared is the only solution. Refusing to seek that solution is not favor. That's not, does not reap the favor of Yah. It's not faith in Him. And my brothers and sisters, to be satisfied with less is to reject the grace, the gift of Yah that will bring forth peace. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, to reject the instruction necessary that we all come to one covenant, one understanding, is really actually called damning unbelief. It says, grace, by grace through faith are you saved. By the favor that you receive in believing what the Most High offers, counting it a blessing to have the opportunity to be taught. That is what is honorable for Yah. Anything else is dishonorable. Anything else is an insult. We live in a society today that is content in the multitude of its differences, not realizing what that scripture means in Isaiah 52. The leaders of the people caused in the air. These people caused in the quarrel. These people caused in the howl like beasts, indiscriminate beasts. And he says, all day my name is what? Blasphemed, insulted. Because people don't feel they need. Hey, they've established false governing structures that cause them to feel they don't need to know the absolute truth. Don't realize the Most High is going to destroy whatever resists that truth or whatever would not be an instrument unto the preservation and restoration and preservation of that truth. Like I said, Israel has no power with all these multitude of different, grown weak, wearied after multitude of different rulers. No power within himself to deliver himself from the enemy within. So Israel today has no power to become that promised remnant of Yah, not unto himself as a people. So the Most High has promised, according to Isaiah 44, you need to read it, Isaiah 40-45, 46. Most High said he would bring forth one who would bring forth the fullness of what is necessary to be remembered, that his people be established on a firm foundation. If people have a shepherd to lead them beyond all the folly and misconceits of man, the men discern again what indeed is the counsel of the Most High. The men discern, in fact, what is the will of Yah from the rising of the sun from the east to the west. All my brothers and sisters, did they really tell you what it meant when Scripture said the Most High said he would raise up a man in righteousness to build a city, to build a kingdom unto him? If they tell you what it really means and said he would come forth saying, I, the Lord, declare righteousness. I declare the things that are right. I, the Lord, alone am. I, the Lord, am a just one and a savior. He says there's no one like me. How many understand, my brothers and sisters, that in Isaiah 45, this scripture is actually speaking in context of the Most High himself, after his plan, declaring one whom he would declare when he says, I am the Lord. It means he declares alone what is righteousness. He alone declares the fullness of what is necessary that after a pure and perfect will, the people may be one. He says, there's none else like me, none among men. He is the one consecrated by the Most High to restore what mankind for so many ages has forgotten. Did they tell you really what that means? Why the scripture says, all who are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Unto him every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Now, brothers and sisters, that there might be a reference point, the Most High has already told you who would bring forth in Israel worthy to be called to the glory of Yah, to the honor of the One Most High. And so the scriptures relate that that blessedness is something the Most High declared right there in Isaiah 45. It says the Most High did not create this world, if you understand it, under havoc or warfare. He created not under vanity, but that it bring forth peace and his people might dwell in it. The one he said he would bring forth to reveal again righteousness, reveal again peace, expose every lie. People might know the truth. That must be the Messiah. You ever stop to consider that 45th chapter of Isaiah speaks about one? If they told you the truth, they tell you his title as the one who founded the kingdom called Kurdistan. At the power of Yah, Kurdistan is, in fact, they put down Cyrus, but his title was actually the Kurdi, the one who comes suddenly like the rising sun, sunrise, to cast out all the darkness, to prove that so much of people thought wisdom was just a variation of the darkness. Like I said, even in Matthew 23rd chapter, Messiah got on the priest because he said they were many times dealing with lesser things, more so catering to their personal prestige, design, and so-called primacy or honor, when they weren't honorable at all. And so many very important issues of Scripture, he said, they are continually neglected, when these things by no means should not, these things by no means should have been left unaddressed or undone. I see a lot of that today, my brothers and sisters, and most people have no concept of what is not being addressed because somehow their leaders seeking to preserve their rule over the people have been completely neglectful against declaring to the people that when Messiah comes, he indeed comes as King of Kings, King over all kings, to reprove all the unrighteousness of all the rulers. But nevertheless, you got these theology schools that uphold some of everybody's different forms of doctrine. Wow. Telling people it's okay because that's just simply what they choose to believe. Like I said, the scripture says those who believe lies in 2 Thessalonians shall be damned. So it does make a difference. If man is deceived and despised, the one solution the Most High has given to end this mass confusion, shall such rebellious souls, souls showing no love of the truth, therefore no love of Yah, yet be counted zealously steadfast believers? What have they believed? Woe then unto those who find out too late that they've been robbed, therefore, my brothers and sisters, but never having sought the whole truth and never found one who could tell them. What of them who find out too late they've been robbed, never have known to ever have even known participation in the faith of Yah? Faith does not come after just simply hearing men. The Aramaic, it says, who has heard the echoes of our voice? Isaiah said, hear me, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah was saying, I've spoken to many people. What you told me, Father, but how many heard your voice to discern my words when I spoke? Discerning that a world of contradictions is a damning illusion, my brothers and sisters, provocative, unworthy to be called a covenant. That's the beginning of hope, toward even being counted worthy unto access to wisdom. To believe that contradictions, a multitude of contradictions, is still wise, is to call the one who you call master. It's to identify him as a devil, whether you realize that is what you followed or not. To trust in provocative division, my brothers and sisters, is double-mindedness. Indecision, rendering the soul incapable of ever becoming
90 seconds
for Yah. So they trust in a multitude of contradictions, my brothers and sisters, is still a lying soul, still serving the devils. Messiah said, if you're my disciples, you would know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Wow. Sounds like not everybody has really been pursuing to really be his disciple. Not everyone was willing to hear when the Most High began to, if ever in their lives, they began, he began to introduce
60
himself.
60 seconds.
There are those, my brothers and sisters, don't want to admit that being offered an opportunity to see the truth, to turn aside, being an insult against the Most High, many of my brothers and sisters were simply not addressed again. But that's not what people want to hear. Many have chosen to presume what they will, having realized that that already invalidates them. My brother says, Most High calls, you answer, and you ask him concerning everything that you should know to be true to his word. Those who do this are the ones he would call faithful. System fundamentally flawed, my brother and sister, prefers that men call themselves in their tolerance. They call it tolerance, civilized, while they never knew what was civil under peace. It's time we learn to trust Yah, seek him as he is. My website, HiddenGospel.com, has a lot of articles that are mentioned in the chat. I'm telling you now, need to be examined. But a foundation needs to be restored. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, this is Ed and Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Under his might, under his honor, and his praise always, thankfully always, my brothers and sisters, it's time we give him honor and give him praise. Time to thank him, my brothers and sisters, for every ear that he brings near, that we might collaborate and cooperate as one in a gift from him. To his praise always, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah! Now, thank you all again for listening. A lot more to speak about. Just keep listening, my brothers and sisters. Seems like I hardly ever get past more than a few paragraphs of what is intended. But my brothers and sisters, the day will come when more than my voice will speak. And then we'll hear much more of the voice of the Most High Yah.